You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We are going to keep this a high and tight 21. Hopefully exactly on the button, maybe a little less. That's where we're at. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And I'm Isaiah Hole, your man on the ground, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Today we're going to talk about, I put out a couple days ago, my best guess at starting offense, starting defense. So we'll do both sides. And then I've done several radio interviews this week about Joe Milton, so I want to kind of sum up my thoughts on it. Mostly, obviously, those have all been in Tennessee, but figured out it's a good time to just kind of sum up what I'm thinking about Joe Milton and what I think he's going to bring to the table for the Vols, what I think he would have been at Michigan, why he didn't work. But we're going to get that done in about 18 minutes, all of it. So let's start with the offense. I think the offense was pretty easy to predict, and obviously it's subject to change. This is post-spring edition, of course. I'll give you my reasoning. Naturally, starting quarterback, I put as Cade McNamara. I don't think that's any surprise. I mean, Matt Weiss said, who's his quarterback's coach, says, hey, he's going to be a 10-year starter in the NFL. Probably not going to get there if you're languishing on the bench. That said, you know, Alan Bowman is going to come in. J.J. McCarthy is going to get more acclimated by fall. All of that stuff. I was told about Alan Bowman that they see him as kind of raw, despite the fact that he has had several, you know, two seasons plus of starting under his belt, that they see him as kind of mechanically raw, like kind of, and he was likened to me by the person, a name that you all know, to Philip Rivers. So I'm curious to see if he's able to come in and unseat Cade McNamara. I don't think that's anywhere close to a done deal, but that is who I have as my starting quarterback. Starting running back, I have as Hassan Haskins. Not a big surprise. Would I be surprised if Donovan Edwards ends up winning that job by the season's end? No, I would not. Would I be surprised if Blake Corum won that job by the season's end? I also would not. But again, for long, long time listeners of the podcast, y'all have known that I've touted Hassan Haskins, and now he's your number one guy. And I think that's obvious to anyone who's paid any sort of attention to anything. So Haskins is my starting running back. Offensive line is a little bit different because there's a lot of options. And as far as I know, what has happened in spring, I haven't paid that. Like I said, I've seen some tape. I haven't really delved through it that hard, but the ones that I kind of look at are, that I would assume would be your day one starters is going to be very similar to what it was last year. But a little bit different. I mean, Ryan Hayes at left tackle. I'm staying with Chuck Filiaga at left guard, though Trevor Keegan certainly could have that, just like Carson Barnhart could have left tackle. Center, Andrew Vastardis. Greg Crippen is behind him at the moment. Then Zach Zinter at right guard. I don't think there's any unseating him. And Andrew Stuber on the end, but I wouldn't be surprised if Willie Allen made a push or any number of guys. I think there's a lot of competition there, but that would be the ones that I would go with right now. Starting tight end, I think is pretty obvious that it's Eric All. I don't think there's really much competition there for the other starter, but I think if they have two tight ends, Luke Schoonmaker would be the next one up. But I'm curious to see more about the development of Matthew Hibner, and I'm interested to see how Louis Hansen asserts himself when he gets here. Then you have the wide receivers. I think you have two obvious guys. If you're looking at three starters here, I think there's two obvious ones in Ronnie Bell and Cornelius Johnson. Now that I have Mike Sainer still listed as the next guy because I think that it would have been Giles, potentially. Sainer still's got that ability, but it could be Roman Wilson. I think Roman Wilson, going into his second year, I think he really could be that guy. I wouldn't be surprised if A.J. Henning, I mean, you're going to see all these guys anyway, but I think the first three out are going to be Ronnie Bell, Cornelius Johnson, and Mike Sainer still. That's the way I would go. And I think that you're going to see one of the clips that I did see featured a really spectacular catch by Andrell Anthony. So I think he's going to be a factor. Christian Dixon very well could be as well. I think they've got a lot of really good options at wide receiver. So That is my offense. We're going to spend more time talking about the defense here in just a moment. But before we do, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and for do-it-yourselfers. I'm just getting ahead of myself. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership, nor does it require account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, let's talk a little defense. I think we're going to end up being really short today, which I think is fine. I'd rather have a short episode than no episode at all. But we're getting to that point where we don't have a lot to talk about right now. I don't have a lot to talk about right now, period. So that's where we're at. It's going to be a little while, unfortunately. So anyway, the defense is... got some obvious pieces. So up front, I think is the front seven is where I'm really curious. So I actually don't have my list in front of me, but I'm trying to remember exactly how I had it posited. I'm pretty sure I had it as Donovan Jeter in the middle. Actually, I know I don't have it exactly as it was, but here's what I'm going with now. Donovan Jeter in the middle. The other two I'm putting as Chris Hinton and Julius Welshoff. I think that's good. I think it was Chris Hinton and instead of Julius Welshoff. I think that depending on the package, Julius Welshoff will be up front a lot. But I think I went Aiden Hutchinson, even though he's one of the Reapers, technically. He's one of those guys in the back. I'm going with him up front for your three up front. But I think you'll see him move up and down, right? Like there's some times where there's a guy that would be considered that outside linebacker that, and we'll get to that momentarily, that and Aiden Hutchinson could be in the back. But as a starting front, I think obviously he's going to be more of an upfront attacking type guy, that third guy that's down. And I think he's got the bulk to do that. But I think you'll see him just as much as with his hand not in the ground, standing up, whether it be in the back or, I mean, still coming off the end. So that's going to be my three in the front. For my four in the back, the linebackers. Taylor Upshaw is the other one I have as my other rush end. I'm going with Josh Ross and Michael Barrett in the middle. I think you could definitely see any number of guys kind of come in and be those other guys. Like, I think you could see Anthony Solomon get some time, Nakai Hill-Green. I mean, he's a guy that we've heard about a ton. I feel like he's going to be ready for the limelight. I think those are different guys that could be plugged in. I don't think that they have unfortunately, a Devin Bush type. Cam McGrone could have been that. My other guy I have on as my fourth linebacker, I have is David Ojabo. It's his third year. I think he's ready. I think he's very much in the mold of a Josh Uche, and we think often of him as being a defensive end, but he was an outside linebacker. Very much in the same mold, kind of a tweener. Like I said, he could come out. You could put Aiden back there, put Julius Welshoff in, but from what I could tell from spring, I think Ojabo got quite a bit of run. So I'm putting him in as a starter because I think that he's that tweener guy. You know, not quite a full-on defensive end, not quite, you know, a little bit bigger than your typical linebacker. I think he could be an absolute stud given the opportunity. So I'm curious to see what he's able to do. Ultimately, I think there could be changes, and we'll see if, like, Junior Colson gets in the mix. He could be play that same role, right? I mean, when he committed, he was going to be a Viper, but he's got the size to also be that tweener type. I think he's also could be a guy that lives inside as well. I think you have a ton of options as far as that's concerned. Maybe not a ton of personnel, but I think you have players that are options to move around. I think your safeties are pretty obvious in Brad Hawkins and Daxton Hill. Would not be surprised to see a lot of Makari Page and R.J. Moten. Someone I want to take that next step, but maybe easier way, I don't know, is Jordan Morant. Back end, I'm sticking with Green, Jamon Green. I know his brother German also moved from safety to corner, but I'm sticking with Jamon as your number one guy. Sticking with Vincent Gray for right now for my number two. But even though these guys were returning starters, I feel like it, with a new defensive coordinator, new cornerbacks coach, all could change. But I think that both of them came on strong as the season progressed. Jamon in a huge way, Vincent Gray more subtly. But I would not be surprised to see DJ Turner, Jalen Perry, Darian Green-Warren, Andre Seldon, I think, will be in a nickel packages. I think there's a lot of options. They're just all untapped. And that's kind of the thing about the defense entirely. It's all untapped. Right? Like, you only have a handful of people that you say, that's really good. Aiden Hutchinson, yeah, really good. Cool. You're waiting for Hinton and Daxton Hill to have those five-star type performances. Donovan Jeter had his moments. He showed flashes last year. Now it's time to see it more full-time. Josh Ross and Brad Hawkins had awesome previous years. Hawkins in 2019, Josh Ross in 2018, but we didn't see it last year. So I know a lot of people have lost faith with those two, but at the same time, it's like, okay, Josh Ross, we've seen it. We've seen him look awesome. He looked awesome in 2018. He platooned with Devin Gill. Devin Gill had the starting job technically, but I think we saw more Josh Ross. I'd have to look at the snap counts, but I think that Ross would be, if he can return to what he was in 2018, I think everything is fine there. We didn't really see him in 2019, and then 2020 did not go well for him, in my opinion. Brad Hawkins wasn't nearly as bad as that, but he looked okay, not great last year, whereas 2019, he was awesome. So a lot of that can, for both of those guys, a lot of that can be attributed to the fiddling, right? Michigan wasn't intending on running as much zone as it did, and then it ended up running close to 50% zone, and they let up just a ton of yards every time. So I think that now with their being like, hey, we're doing zone, we're doing man, we're doing pattern matching, we're doing all kinds of different things. We're running 4-3, we're running 3-4, we're running 3-5, you know, whatever they do. The players are going to be more acclimated and ready to go. All right, let's recap my Joe Milton talks that I've had over the last couple of days. Maybe this is a little bit of a refresher, but I was on Tennessee Radio. I was on Locked On Volunteers earlier in the week, and it just seems like we've talked a lot about Joe Milton. Just going to continue that trend for a moment because I think it's worth saying, all right. See you later, Joe. But first, betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, they're all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV. With real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and guess what? It is free to sign up. Head over to betonline.ag to sign up today and use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Also, I have to talk to you a little bit about Built Bar. You know how I always say I put my money where my mouth is with Built Bar, and I've bought umpteen boxes? Well, I have two boxes in transit right now. Two. I bought two different boxes. The coconut brownie chunk, I think, is one of them. It's back for a limited time. I couldn't pass that up. And peanut butter brownie. Both are just insanely delicious. If you haven't had Built Bar before, it's a protein bar that's low calorie, low carb, high protein. Tastes like a candy bar. I tend to eat two of them at a time. Guess what? It's still less calories than having a candy bar doing that. And then you really just nail it with the protein. Not gritty. You don't need a bottle of water to wash it down. I can't get enough of them. Hence, I have two 18-bar boxes on the way. So go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKED15 like I did for both of them. BuiltBar.com, LOCKED15. Get 15% off of that next order at BuiltBar.com. All right. So Joe Milton, by all accounts, is going to be a Tennessee Volunteer. We have not talked about this. It's Josh Heupel. It's going to be his first year in Knoxville. And just adding to that quarterback room, Joe's got 3 years of eligibility left. So that's plenty of time to get in, get acclimated, and grow. For me, Milton's issue obviously was not the physical stuff. It was between the ears. And it feels to me like he can learn a lot of that stuff. But I think the reason why Cade was able to come in and just do everything is it feels like it got to be too much for Joe between the ears. And yeah, there's the accuracy issues in the intermediate, throwing too hard, things of that nature. I think that he could be the guy that we saw in game one constantly. But we didn't see it beyond that. I thought he was serviceable against Michigan State. I thought if the defense did anything, then it would be a different story. The problem is Michigan got into an early deficit, essentially no run game. What are you going to do? I thought Michigan didn't utilize him as well as they could outside of the Minnesota game. Would have liked to have seen a lot more runs. How much of those were RPOs that he decided not to run? I'm not sure. I would have liked to have seen the deep ball. It didn't seem like they even really tried the deep ball. I think that's where he really excels. But I don't think that's what Michigan's offense is right now. And I think that that's an issue. Especially Michigan found itself in an early hole often, every single game last year. And what was this offensive line supposed to be good at? Running the football. What was Michigan not able to do last year? Run the football. Why? It was in deficits early. So they had to pass. So they put a lot on Milton. And I think he lost a lot of confidence. And I think it's one of those things where he could gain that back just by the change of scenery. And we've seen it happen before with other players. I'm standing by the thought that he can be that high-end player. And hopefully it works out where he is that, and Michigan finds that with whoever they have leading the charge in Ann Arbor, so that people aren't looking and saying, we could have had that. And, looking and saying, hey, we're all good. We like who we have, and congrats, Joe, and thanks for, giving it your all and your best while you're in Ann Arbor. Hopefully that's the case. Anyway, that's my thoughts on it. We're going to wrap it up right now. So thank you for listening. We'll try, but no promises of having another show sometime over the weekend. But no promises. Depends on if we can find something to talk about. But we have nothing right now, really. So anyway, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.